thank you indeed. Oh, what a Savior. Let's all stand, please, and do the doxology.
So glad to have each one of you here this morning, especially those of you who are visiting with us. We pray that you're blessed. And if you don't have a regular church place to attend, we'd love to have you here. Always got room. Still got a few empty seats, but we've got a good crowd here. Had a great breakfast. We appreciate the men that came and cooked and prepared it and got it ready for us. And had a good group for sunrise service. And you're here for the worship service. So glad. And while we're singing the doxology of praise, I thought, what if they have special Easter services in heaven? And on Easter, they get together and praise the Lord even more than they do during the regular week. I don't know. I'll find out one day. And those of us that know Jesus, we'll all find out one day. Let's pray together. Lord, it's good to be in your house. It's good to remember that Jesus is alive. He's not buried somewhere in a grave in Palestine, but he's alive. And he's alive forevermore, that he's seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven, ever making intercession for us. Father, thank you that there's coming a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And, oh, Holy Spirit, you're so welcome here today. You came in with us. You live in our hearts. We pray that you'll speak words of comfort, words of instruction, words of enlightenment, words of direction. You're so welcome. Most of all, Holy Spirit, help us to lift up and honor Jesus, our risen Lord and Savior. In his name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Ed, and good morning. Boy, I tell you what, y'all clean up real good early. I mean, really do. You look good. Absolutely. That's really nice to see you all. And boy, our visitors, so happy to have you all this morning. Pastor Ed has already alluded to, we're glad to have you here, and you are indeed our special guest, and we thank you for being here. Hey, about this time every Sunday morning, we do what we call a hymn sing, and we take out a hymn, one of our hymn books, and we sing it this Easter Sunday morning. I want us to look at Christ the Lord is risen today. Christ the Lord is risen today, and we'll do all the verses as we stand and sing together Christ the Lord. And aren't you glad we serve a risen Savior? Amen. Everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I have some announcements I want to share with you, but first I think some thank yous are in order. I want to thank all the Baptist men and all those that came out this morning at 5:30, and we started cooking this morning, and I hope you enjoyed the breakfast. It looks like you did because it's all gone. Thank you. All right, guys, we do thank you for all your hard work. No question about it. Let me share some announcements with you. Now, Wednesday night, though, the Wings meeting, that's the ladies going to be meeting here Wednesday night, so be sure you're here.
Wednesday morning.
That's Wednesday morning. That's right, 10:30. That would be morning. Is it 10
o'clock?
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock.
All right, 10 o'clock. Hey, it was easy. Anybody can do this. You go. No, it's at 10 o'clock. All right, it's 10 o'clock. So be sure you be here in your place, okay? Do that. All right, then next Sunday we'll have a church council meeting, and want to be sure that's at 11 o'clock, and that church council meeting will be right after worship time. So be here, and all you council members be here. We got a lot to go over. This will be our first meeting in a long, long time, and we need to go ahead and get organized and have a good meeting. So we do have a lot to discuss, so be here for that. Okay. Baptismal service. Oh, that's a beautiful thing to say. Beautiful thing to think about. Baptismal service next Sunday, April the 14th. Everybody be here. Pastor, you have anything you want to add to that? So, okay. All right. So, baptismal service. Okay. And that's, except for Wednesday night, we need to continue to think about being here Wednesday night in our prayer service as we Bible study. Be here and be here for that. So, what a beautiful crowd we have. I haven't seen this many people in here since before COVID. And that's saying something. I mean, seriously. So, It's wonderful to see. Wonderful to see. God's blessing to hear this morning. Are there any announcements I may have overlooked anywhere? All right, then let's go to our prayer request. And so, do you have prayer requests, specific prayer requests, or prayer needs this morning to share? Yes. Wonderful. We got a praise report there, haven't we? Then yes, amen. All right, I thank God for praise reports. That's always good. Yes, sir. You're a dad. Okay, what's his name? I'm sorry, I didn't hear. Bradley Burris. Okay. All right, we'll do that for sure. Are the others? Yes, Lionel.
Family of
Doug Henson. Okay. I didn't know that. Yeah. Okay. Are the others?
Leonard, I'd like to put my daughter-in-law on the prayer list.
Yes, ma'am, Janet.
She's been diagnosed with ALS.
Yes.
She's already using a wheelchair. It's happening really, really fast. Her husband, my son, is devastated. Her name is Betsy.
Betsy Gibson. Okay, are the others? Yes, Lionel?
Correction. Jeff Henson.
Jeff Henson. Okay. That's all right.
Okay. Jeff Henson. Leonard,
yes,
I want to add Grandma Shirley. We refer to her as Grandma Shirley. It's Shirley Eford.
Okay.
She was one of our angels that helped us caregive Grandma, and she has had a fall and broken her arm and a kneecap.
Okay.
This week. So please keep her in your prayers.
Okay.
Our hearts are broken for her.
All right. Shirley Eford.
Shirley
Eford. Okay.
Y'all remember Justin?
Justin.
He's now the military, retired after 22 years.
Okay. Well, that's a praise report, isn't it?
Yes. I don't know about him, but I feel old.
Wait till you get my age. I feel about 2 days older than baseball. I'll be all right. But you know what? I've got a lot to be thankful for. And I can tell you that. Absolutely. Are there others this morning? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for this day. And Lord, we do thank you for this special time, this special day. the beautiful sunrise, the sunrise you give us each and every morning. Oh, how I wish that we could appreciate it as much each and every day. Lord, sometimes we think your blessings, take your blessings for granted. But Lord, what a beautiful day you've given us. And what a beautiful group you've given us today to worship together. And we thank you for them. We thank you for each and every one that prioritized their time to be here this morning, to get up early, a little earlier than most probably. And I do thank you for that. Thank you for that. I ask your blessings upon them. Now, Lord, there are those that have been mentioned this morning that, Lord, we need to bring to you specifically. And we do praise. We do bring praise reports to you and thank you for that. And we also ask for your blessings and healing. We thank you for Charlene and her praise report that she shared with us this morning. We pray, Lord, for Bradley Burris. We lift him up to you, Lord. The Jeff Henson family, we pray for that family who's lost a loved one. And then for Janice's daughter, Betsy, who is suffering from ALS. We praise, Lord, for her. And Lord, we know that you're able. And we ask for healing for her body. We ask for a special blessing for Shirley Eford. And then, Lord, we pray for Justin as he's retiring from the military. And we pray for him, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the service that he's given. As we thank all of the military, Lord, for the service they give so unselfishly each and every day. Now, Lord, as we go forward in the service today, Lord, we're so thankful for the music that we're going to be able to present today. Lord, we give you all the glory and all the glory that our choir is back. And, Lord, our choir hasn't been able to sing for over 3 years. But we're here today thanks to you and thanks to them. And we thank you for your blessings. And now, Lord, we pray for Pastor Ed as he comes before us today, Lord. And we ask a special blessing upon him as you lead out in this service today. And then, Lord, as we think about our communion service at the end of the service today, we're so thankful, Lord, for your precious gift, the gift you gave us, Lord, of love and life eternity. And these blessings, Lord, I do thank you for. In your sweet Jesus' name, amen. Okay, as I said in my prayer, we are so thankful that our choir is able to come together again and able to sing. We've got some songs that we picked out. We've got some medley song, two songs that we'll sing for you this morning. It's all about Easter, as you might imagine. Okay, choir.
Hurry, call my Lord, what's true, say.
Pastor.
Eventually, we'll get to 1 Corinthians 15. If anybody wants to turn in their Bibles or iPads or phones or wherever. About 30 years or so ago, I was asked to participate in a funeral. It was a man I knew very well. And so I agreed, and the funeral was held in the church, the Southern Baptist, back Stanley County Baptist Church, where he was a member. And when it came my time, I got up and did whatever, you know, read whatever scripture, had whatever prayer that I was supposed to do. And I sat back down, and then there was another former pastor of that church that had some things to say, and he sat down. And then the pastor of this church stood up. And in the middle of his main message, he said this. Some people talk about a resurrection of the dead, but you'll never hear it from me. And I thought, do what? Well, my wife was with me, and we got in the car to start to the funeral procession, you know, to the cemetery. I said, Pam, did that man say what I thought he said? She said, he sure did. And I thought to myself, how did a man get to be a pastor of a Southern Baptist church that didn't believe in the resurrection? But about 3 o'clock this morning, I wasn't asleep, and I was looking through my phone, and I saw something about an atheistic chaplain. Now, that would be really spiritual comfort, wouldn't it? Somebody that doesn't believe there's a God, and he's going to be a chaplain, and he's going to help you in your troubled times. So it's not new. And in fact, it wasn't new in Paul's day. Because in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12, he says, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Evidently, some even in Paul's day were saying there is no resurrection. And Paul in this chapter makes it clear the Christian gospel rises and falls over the resurrection. If there is no resurrection, Paul says, we're in a mess. If there is a resurrection, then we have hope. The entire Christian message has to do with whether or not there is a resurrection. Now, verse 13, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 13. Now, if there's no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? He said, you know, if there's no resurrection, then Jesus didn't come back alive. Then he says in verse 14, if Christ be not risen, our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. He says, all that I've preached to you is just worthless, and all that you believe is worthless if there's no resurrection. Verse 16 reiterates it, for if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. And if Christ be raised, be not raised, your faith is vain, you're yet in your sins. Then he goes on to say, those that are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. He says, those that thought they were believing, believed in a resurrection, if there's no resurrection, they've died, they've been buried, all their hope is gone. It's worthless, it's useless. Then he says in verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. Paul says it all hinges on the resurrection. He says there's no resurrection, then Christ isn't alive. There's no resurrection, people without die without a hope, die in vain. And that's sad. If only we get a little inspiration for this life, and that's all that there is. What a pitiful, pitiful hope we have. But look at verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. He said, Christ has been risen. Now, if you remember, I preached on this a week or two ago, at the beginning of chapter 15, verse 4, he was buried. He rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. Paul says, listen, there is a host of eyewitnesses that the resurrection really happened. Now, if you just hear a rumor of one person or two or three, you could think, well, maybe they were deluded. Maybe they didn't understand. Maybe they saw a vision. Maybe something happened that they didn't really see what they thought they saw. But when you say 500 people saw something at the same time, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. Paul says, now is Christ risen. And he's the first fruits. He's the first of many. Your eternal life, your resurrected life, my resurrected life, all depends upon the fact that Jesus rose again and he lives and is at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Amen. Everything depends upon that. And he says, as in Adam all die, and so in Christ also shall be made alive. Adam blew it. Adam messed up. Because of that, we're born with a sin nature. We're lost. We have no hope. But then he says, but in Christ, all shall be made alive. Anybody, whosoever will may come. For God so loved the world that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Scripture says it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should be saved. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's your choice. The cross and that empty tomb are standing there in the middle of the road saying, I love you. I died for you. I rose again. I want to take you to heaven with me. I want to take you to heaven with me. I think it's interesting. Verse 35, but some men will say, how are the dead raised up? With what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain, if by chance wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there's one kind of flesh of men, another of beasts, fishes, birds. Paul is making his people, you know, We wonder what our heavenly bodies are going to look like. And we speculate. Now the Bible says that we'll have a heavenly body like the heavenly body of Jesus. You know, when he came back, they could recognize him. Well, that's Jesus. When he came back, Thomas could put his finger in the nail prints. He could put his hand in the side where the sword went in. Jesus ate food. You remember he ate fish? He ate bread. He was, but his body was different. You know, they could be in the building with the door locked and all of a sudden he just was there. And so Paul says people are confused about what we look like. And he uses an illustration here. He said, you know, you plant a grain of wheat and that stalk of wheat doesn't look like that grain. I thought of one as, you know, and with my background, y'all will understand this better. You ever seen anything uglier than a peach seed? I mean, that thing's a knotty little thing with a sharp point on it and hard as a rock. That's ugly. But what happens? You plant that peach seed, and a little while, the life in it brings forth a tree. And when that peach tree gets big enough, it has beautiful blooms on it. And then at a certain point, those blooms turn into peaches that are glorious, big as your fist. Well, that's the illustration Paul just uses. He says, when we die, our bodies may be old, worn out, riddled with disease, but he says something glorious is coming. Something beautiful is coming. Says we don't understand all about it, but God is going to make something beautiful out of our bodies that were planted in the ground. You know, that gives us great hope. That gives us great hope. And I was talking with somebody, I think yesterday, about what we're going to look like also. One of those books that was out maybe 20 years ago of a young boy, I don't remember now where he was, about 4, 5, 6 years old that died. And he was resuscitated and, you know, spent some time, you know, came on back. And he was with his family. And at one point he says, Mama, when I was in heaven, I met my little sister. They'd never told him that she'd had a miscarriage. But he met his little sister. And then he said, I had a great time with my grandpa. So they showed him some pictures of grandpa. Grandpa's 60, 70 years old. That weren't him. So they kept looking through the annual or the album of pictures and, oh, that's him. Grandpa was about 30. So don't you, those of us that passed 30, don't you think it'd be wonderful to be 30 again in heaven for the rest of your eternity? Heaven is going to be special. It's going to be special. For some reason this morning I was thinking about this. My mom was a baby magnet. She could just about take a baby away from its own mama. And mama died, went to heaven. And our daughter in Australia, you know, they're missionaries there. She became pregnant. And somewhere 5 to 6 months, she lost that baby. Now, I've seen a picture of it. The little girl, pretty little baby, but had some issues that it didn't live. And the baby was old enough that by Australian law, it had to have a burial, and they did. But But you know what comforted me? I thought, I bet my mama was there at the gate when that baby came through. And she said, let me have that young'un. I'll take care of it. And she's taking care of that till Sarah and Brian get there, whenever that is. Paul is saying there's a resurrection. And that's what we celebrate here on Easter. A resurrection that is so special. Because Jesus lives, we live. And he says here that death is totally defeated. The choir sang about it at the end of the verses. So verse 54, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be wrought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God, through the Lord Jesus Christ, we have sin, we have victory over sin and over the grave. Oh, that's, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And that's for everybody that will believe it. That's for everybody that will believe it. I flipped on the TV this morning while I was getting ready. Don't have a clue who was preaching. Never seen the guy before. But he gave a good, pretty good illustration. He said, if you were flying on an airplane and the pilot came over the intercom and said, folks, the engines have died. But fortunately, there's a parachute under every seat. All you got to do is just put it on and the stewardess will show you how it works. And you can jump out when they open the door and you can land safely. So don't you think you wouldn't care what color the parachute was, how bulky it was, whether it matched your outfit? All you'd want to do is grab that parachute and put it on and make sure you knew which cord to pull. Jesus is your parachute. Without Jesus, we're lost. Without Jesus, we're on our way to an eternal destruction. But with Jesus, we have life everlasting. And the last verse of chapter 15 says this, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. He says, keep at it. Don't give up and quit. Sad when people don't continue to live the Christian life. They go off like Demas in the New Testament and chase the world. He said, be steadfast, unmovable. There's a reward coming for everybody that serves the Lord. It all hinges on the resurrection. If there is no resurrection, there's no salvation. But with the resurrection and the eyewitnesses to the resurrection, and you know, those of you that have been Christians and have sought the Lord and walk with the Lord, you feel the living Christ in your heart. You know that you know that you know that he's alive. In a few moments, we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper and invite everybody that knows Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior to participate. Thursday night, when we had the Maundy Thursday service, we also celebrated the Lord's Supper. And I talked a little bit about the word in 1 Corinthians 11 where Paul talks about taking the Lord's Supper unworthily. And on the way home, the Holy Spirit reminded me of a conversation that I had with an elderly relative many years ago. Now, this lady had health issues from time to time and was not able to attend church. But from the church that she told me, she lived in another state, and from the church that she told me that she attended, I don't think she got very much good Bible teaching. I just suspected. because we had a lot of conversations and she just didn't get a lot of things. And so we were talking about the Lord's Supper and that phrase about unworthily, and she says, Ed says, I never partake of the Lord's Supper because I never feel worthy and I don't want to mess up. And I tried to tell her two things. One is this. If you are, or me, anybody, is convicted by the Holy Spirit of sin as we come to the Lord's table, the Bible says if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and could cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So that means that if we are convicted, it doesn't matter what it is, whether we think it's a little sin, big sin, many sins, just one. If we are convicted of sin, all we have to do is confess, say, Lord, I blew it. I messed up. I did this, I did that, or I didn't do this or the other. And when we confess it, we're forgiven. The other point I tried to make to this relative is this. In ourself, none of us are worthy. We won't ever be worthy. But it's Jesus who makes us worthy. It's Jesus who makes us worthy. The Bible says, in Christ Jesus, we are the righteousness of God. Jesus makes you worthy. And if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're confessed up, you're worthy. I never could get this relative to see that. But oh, thank God that Jesus makes us worthy. Makes us worthy to stand before God. Makes us worthy to be a part of the heavenly host. Makes us worthy to be called sons of God. A part of the family of God. Thank God that Jesus makes us worthy. As our deacons come and we get prepared for this, would you just bow your heads for a moment and think about how grateful you are that Jesus makes you worthy. Think about how grateful you are that he really is alive at this very moment. Father, as we come to the Lord's table, Jesus said we do this in remembrance of him. And Father, we look at the cross and we see an agonizing death. Not just the death of physical, but death spiritual, because he became sin for us. But on the cross, he took all of our sins, and we thank you. But thank you, Father, that the cross and the grave were not the end, but an empty tomb and an ascended Savior who one day soon is coming again. We celebrate Jesus, Lord. Oh, Jesus, we love you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. The Bible says that the Lord took bread and he blessed it as he prepared to give it to his disciples. And I'll ask Lionel if he'll bless the bread.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the fact that, Father, you were so willing to allow your body to be broken. Even though we live in this broken world, Lord, it's through your body that we have the promise. And we thank you for that, Father. Now as we come and take part for the breaking of bread, Father, we thank you and we praise you, Father.
little piece of bread you hold in your hand is just a symbol. Can begin to help us to understand how broken the body of Jesus was on that cross. He didn't do it because he had to. He did it because he loved you. And it wasn't plan B. The Bible says he was crucified from the foundation of the world. Jesus always planned to be your Savior. And he says, I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you, that where I am, there you may be also. Please be sure that you're ready to go meet Jesus when the appropriate time comes. He said, this is my body broken for you. Take and eat. In the same way, the Lord took the cup and he blessed it. Now let's grant if he'd bless the cups.
Dear Father, we come to you today. Thank you for the joy and the hope that you give us, dear Lord. And dear Father, thank you for your precious blood that was shed. Dear Lord, you covered a multitude of sins, dear Father, of all time. And dear Father, we just, as a church here today, we just lift up and look up to you and say thank you. And dear Father, we just all come to you. Pray that many more will be blessed and come to know you. Anything that we do here, whether it be at church or on the way home, dear Lord, let's share your love that you shared with us.
Amen. You recognize that song? There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Then one verse starts, the dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day. And there may I, though vile as he, wash all my sins away. Praise God for a Savior who gave his life that we might be saved. He said, this is my blood shed for you. Drink ye all of it. Leonard's going to lead us in our closing song. But before that, if there's anybody here that doesn't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior and the Holy Spirit's convicted you, would you come see me after the service and we'll talk about how you can give your heart and life to Jesus and be ready. Be ready. And he loves you as much as he loves me or anybody that's standing here or anybody else. Please don't leave here without Jesus in your heart. Leonard?
Lord, be blessed.